Blog Talk Radio.
It's 2019 and you're listening to Totally Driven Radio.
You're so damn huggable.
I love you.
This is not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge sanctioned by the U.S. government.
11:55. Almost midnight. Enough time for one more story before 12.
You're gonna die up there.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Joy, and this is Slasher Podcast. And, today we're going to be talking about a brand new app called the Slasher app with its creator, the one and only Damon Della Greca. I could have butchered that, but I hope I didn't. Damon, you on with us? Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I hear you. Hey, man, how you doing today?
Good, good. How about you?
Hey, doing pretty good. I'm super excited to be talking about the Slasher app. And I think we got another special guest on with us. Kelly, are you on?
Hi, I'm here.
Hey,
Kelly. How you doing?
Hey guys, how are you tonight?
Good, good. How are you?
Yeah, doing pretty good.
Good.
Cool.
And this is Kelly McNeely from the one and only Horror Fuel website. So this is pretty exciting. I think we're going to have a good conversation, and we're going to learn a whole lot of information today about this new up-and-coming horror app. Well, I mean, let's just start with the basics and just get into the nitty-gritty to find out, you know, what this is all about. So, Damon, this is your brainchild. This is, like, something you came up with. Like, how did that happen?
Well, basically, I was going to a lot of conventions, and I would inevitably find out about other ones in the area that I'd, you know, be able to make it to that's not too far away or whatever. But almost always I would end up finding out too late and have to wait for it to come around again. So the first thing that came to mind was it would be really awesome if there was just a list of all the conventions and an easier way to find out about them. So, you know, I know there's a few websites out there that have that kind of stuff, but I found that sometimes it was just old information or it wasn't really being maintained or whatever, or it wasn't complete. So I basically took it upon myself to create this calendar, and I just really shared it with my friends. And from there, I decided that I had something interesting, and, you know, I kept building on ideas and ideas and figuring out different ways to sort of improve my own experience within the community. So just that alone, like my own personal need for different types of information or access or whatever, sort of put it all together for me. And one day I just sat down and started drawing things up. And, you know, a couple of weeks later, I had a pretty complete plan together. And it just kind of went from there. So I started the actual outlining in late December. And by March, it was in development.
Okay. Now, I mean, I don't want you to give away any trade secrets about the Slasher app, but I know we've had some personal conversations, and you've kind of divided things into phase one and phase two. And we're kind of approaching phase one very quickly. So what can you tell us about the Slasher app and what phase one is and you know, how can we get people kind of excited about this?
Well, I'm not going to say everything. You know, there's a couple of really cool features on there that I know some people have been asking about for quite a long time. So we're going to sort of keep those under our belt until either later this week or maybe early next week. But overall, phase one is going to be relatively basic, for lack of a better term. So you may not have all these amazing things that might be in your head that, you know, oh my God, I'm going to download this app. There's going to be like 13,000 different things I can do. We're not there quite yet, but there's going to be ways for people to promote their stuff, to communicate with one another, to network, to make new friends, you know, all that sort of stuff. So there are going to be message boards. There's going to be ways to talk. You'll be able to find people in your area or in, you know, specific areas. And there's going to be news and reviews, of course, thanks to Par Fuel and Kelly, as well as RuMorg. So we've got some stuff that is going to give us a nice launch, and phase two will be following very, very soon after. I'm working on it right now, and as soon as we have all this stuff nailed down and phase one out there, we're going to go right into phase two production.
Well, I know a previous conversation that we had, you had explained it this way, and I thought it was pretty cool the way you said it. And it was basically, you know, we all have fun at horror conventions. I mean, we're all horror fans, and we love to go to these shows, these conventions. And you wanted to basically have a place for fans to continue that experience. And that pretty much is the Slasher app. It's like a horror convention that you can pretty much take with you 24/7. I mean, am I kind of on the right track with that?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, you'll be able to communicate with people. You know, you'll be able to meet new people. You'll be able to find the types of things that you would find at the conventions. A lot of that's going to be in phase two, but you'll be able to do some of it in phase one. So for example, you know, if you go to a convention and you see booths with podcasters and, you know, people who sell all different kinds of wares, whether they're masks or, you know, pieces of art or anything like that, you'll be able to find all about the stuff on there. So any of those people will certainly be able to promote their stuff, post about, you know, anything they've got going on. And it'll make it easier for us to find things, just kind of like walking the aisles of a con.
Okay. Hey, that sounds pretty cool. All right. Well, you know what? What we're going to do right now, and this will be the only break we're going to take, but we are being brought here by Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network. So they do have a commercial break. So we're going to take that right now. And then when we get back, you know, we're going to talk a little bit with Kelly. I didn't forget about you. And then we're going to get into some pretty interesting part of what the Slasher app's going to be. And that is something being promoted as going to try to make horror R again on the Slasher app. So that's something I definitely want to dig into. But anyway, we will be right back in just a moment.
Hey, everybody, this is Bay Ragney of Tilly Gym Radio. And I'm going to let you know about a person you might know as one of Philly's cheesesteak kings or the TV personality, but I'm letting you know about a good friend of the show's and mine, Mr. Tony Luke Jr. He recently released his own song rendition of the Bob Dylan classic, Make You Feel My Love, which is now available on Apple Music, Spotify, and iTunes. He recorded the song for all individuals who are struggling with addiction and their families. 100% of all the proceeds that are made from this recording is going directly to fund the Brown and White Initiative, hashtag Brown and White, to end the stigma associated with addiction, hashtag end the stigma, hashtag love the addict, hashtag you are loved, hashtag you need something.
When the rain is blowing in your face and the whole world is on your case, I can offer you a warm embrace to make you feel my love.
I'm black man, saving man's eyes, one stereotype at a time.
To the black mobile. To the corner of Martin Luther King Street and Malcolm X Boulevard, pronto.
Will black man make it to the crime on time? Or will he be on CPT? Stay tuned at ChrisFraleyPresents.com.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Ever thought about my responsibilities?
Oh, Nick, what are you talking about?
Have you ever had a single moment's thought about my responsibilities? Have you ever thought for a single solitary moment about my responsibilities to my employers? Has it ever occurred to you that I have agreed to look after the Overlook Hotel until May the 1st? Does it matter to you at all? that the owners have placed their complete confidence and trust in me, and that I have signed a letter of agreement, a contract, in which I have accepted that responsibility? You have the slightest idea what a moral and ethical principle is, do you? Has it ever occurred to you what would happen to my future if I were to fail to live up to my responsibility? Has it ever occurred to you? Has it?
Okay, guys, we are back, and we're calling this the Slasher Podcast to promote the Slasher app. And, you know, I don't want to hog the questions. I want to throw it over right now to Kelly from Horror Fuel and see what she has to say and her thoughts about this this new app.
Well, personally, I think it's a brilliant idea. You know, horror fans are always desperate for more information and more access, and this will have it all in one place.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So what do you think about making horror R again with the Slasher app? I think it's a great idea.
I think we should have more R-rated horror these days. Gotten to PG-13.
Yeah, we've sort of gotten to a place where things are becoming a little bit overly cautious, overly censored in sort of unnecessary ways. So, you know, we don't necessarily need to reach a broader audience just because maybe we're not hitting the, you know, under 18 demographic. You know, quite honestly, a lot of this stuff is just not designed for that. And it's, you know, it's perfectly reasonable. Not everything is designed for everyone. So we're not trying to reach people that it's not really meant for in the first place. You know, a lot of us have stories from when we were kids and would sneak horror movies or whatever, and that's fine. But you know, it seems Hollywood and, you know, several other types of arenas have been sort of trying to just increase their audience by watering it down. And it has affected, at least in certain aspects, the end result, which is often the overall quality. So, you know, I'm interested in maintaining our ability to more or less talk about horror movies the way that they've been made, the way that they've been intended to be viewed, the stories the way they are, and the way that they've been depicted.
Well, I'm gonna chime in here. I'm a product. I'm not gonna ask anyone their age, but I mean, I'm a product of the 70s and 80s. You know, so I mean, my glory days of horror were filled with, like, you know, those mom and pop video shops and discovering, you know, horror movies. Most of them are rated horror movies, you know, for the very first time, you know, up on the video shelf. You know, I mean, there was, you know, and I mean, not just that, you know, I mean, the more commercial, you know, I think Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Halloween, you know, Friday the 13th, you know, he played a clip of The Shining, you know, I believe they were all R-rated, you know, and, you know, the thing is, you know, if it's okay to watch an R-rated movie, you know, up on the big screen or, you know, on your television or, you know, these days on your, you know, on your iPhone, then, you know, why can't there be a place where you're not censored to, you know, have that kind of stuff on a website? Or, an app, you know, aka the Flasher app.
Yes, exactly right. Exactly right.
Can I ask some people here what their favorite, let's stick to the R rating, R-rated horror movies from whatever decade you choose. Damon, do you have any favorite?
Well, the one that got me into the whole thing was Poltergeist. I remember watching it on cable when I was a kid, and from that moment on, I was just hooked. You know, there was no way I couldn't want more. But after seeing that movie, it was just, that was it.
Okay, and I no, without a doubt. I mean, that you know, that movie was as creepy as hell. How about you know what? I'm looking it up right now, and it was actually released as a PG, but you wouldn't think about it like these days. You know, I don't know when the MPAA kind of changed over their guidelines, because I know, mm-hmm. like, you know, back in the early 80s, there wasn't a PG-13. So I know, like, sure. a lot of films, if it just, like, had a PG rating, they got away back then with a lot more than they would today.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Well, you did say R-rated. See, that's one thing I don't know if I could answer specifically, because I never really looked at the ratings when I was a kid. I would just go into the video store. You know, the guy knew me, and I would just kind of rent everything I could.
Oh, so, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Kelly, how about...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to ask Kelly what hers was, but I mean, no, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that was really the first one that I recall in general that really kicked everything off.
And with your experience of, well, yeah, I mean, you know, growing up or like getting into horror, you know, what's some stuff that you watched you know, kind of put you in the position that you are today?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. My first experience with horror was Friday the 13th.
Nice.
I was 9 at a friend's house. Her brother had a copy, her older brother. And I slept for a good week under the bed. And as soon as all that settled, I craved more. I was hooked.
Mm-hmm.
So Friday the 13th, that was my first.
Nice.
Well, hey, that's a good one. You know, I mean, the fact that, you know, the fact that the app is aptly named Slasher, you know, I mean, some of my favorites have always been Slasher movies, you know, like, you know, from the Michael Myers to the Jason Voorhees, you know, and everyone in between. You know, there's just something about that subgenre of horror, you know, that, like, you know, one guy that's like stalking like a group of teenagers, either like at a slumber party or in the woods, or, you know, you pick the place. I mean, it can be anywhere. But that whole dynamic, I mean, it just never gets old, does it?
No, and they don't have to move any faster either as time goes on.
Exactly. All right. Well, you know what? I mean, a big part of the Slasher app is, and we touched on it just a little bit earlier, but the fact that, and this is why Kelly's on here, you have formed relationships with some pretty heavy-duty horror websites, one being RoomOrg, and then the second being Callie's website, Horror Fuel. So how's all that going to work?
Well, basically, I established the relationship with Horror Fuel and Kelly first. They were the initial partner of ours for content, really. So the way it's working right now during testing is as soon as you open the app and are logged in, you see the news feed. It's got a few stories from each of Horror Fuel and of RoomOrg. So that's really the first thing that you see at the moment when you sign in is here's your latest news. It's been really cool. It's nice to sign in, and even for me, just to go on and see that there's new information that's coming through, and I think that's fun. It keeps things active. It keeps things fresh. And they're both very, very good about getting things out in a timely manner. So, you know, you can expect that you'll get the latest info as it's available. So it's a great feature, I think. And I'm really, really happy to have them both on board.
Yeah, hey, without a doubt. I mean, no, that is so cool. I've worked with my marketing macabre, sending out, you know, press releases for a lot of independent films. And, you know, Kelly, she is always right on board, being, if not the first, one of the first people to publish, you know, the press releases. So, I mean, it's not just that mainstream horror that you're going to be getting, but you're going to be getting news from, you know, the independent guys, you know, the guys struggling to make it. But I mean, those movies are just as good, you know, as something with a studio budget.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's really important in my opinion, at least, to support the whole indie community. And that's a big part of what Slasher is going to be doing is, providing whatever support and leverage we can for, you know, any independent artists or creators or makers or, you know, anybody who's got something that they want to get in front of an audience. You know, that's something that Slasher is going to provide. And it's if it wasn't for the independent community, we wouldn't necessarily have all of the blockbusters that we do. You know, everybody has to start somewhere, so it's important to give people a chance, to give them an audience, and let them get discovered.
Oh, you know, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you know, independent horror is the heartbeat of the industry. I mean, you know, everyone starts out small, you know. I mean, not everyone just walks in a studio one day with, you know, a $100 million budget or, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, you get movies made all the time for, you know, less than a million. And, you know, they are stunning movies. So, I mean, it's good to hear the fact that, you know, this is going to be a place for independents to thrive.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really critical that they have something that they could, you know, sort of stand on as a foundation where people will know they could come and and find this sort of content. You know, they could find, you know, whether it's indie movies or filmmakers or, you know, writers, you know, anybody that will ultimately have potential to contribute to much bigger projects in the future. We want to make sure that we get them out there and give them a platform.
Absolutely. Kelly, if I throw it back to you real quick, I don't know, is there anything else you want to add as far as questions go about the Slasher app or anything for Damon that you can think of?
When's it going to be out?
So we are anticipating launch next week. I think at this point it's going to depend on approval of the app stores, but we are aiming for launch prior to June 1.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting. And I don't know if we've touched on it yet, but where are we going to be able to use the Slasher app? That's going to be on what, Android phones?
It's going to be on Android and iOS, so both major platforms will be getting the app.
Excellent. All right, that's again great news all around.
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't justify just supporting one platform. It just didn't make sense to me. So I figured, you know what? I'm just going to go all in and say, here, everybody gets it.
That sounds good. All right. So, I mean, basically, let's talk a little bit about, you know, we're all diehard horror fans, I would assume, since, I run horrornews.net and Kelly runs Horror Fuel and you're starting your own Slasher app. We talked a little bit about what, you know, what kind of got us, you know, into the door, but right now, the news out there right now, like, you know, maybe upcoming things, what are you excited about? What do you see, wow, I can't wait to cover this on Horror Fuel, or like, you know, I can't wait to talk about this, you know, on the Slasher app. Like, what are you excited about?
Brightburn is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, you know, I'm on Horror Fuel right now, and I think two of your top stories right now is about Brightburn.
Yeah, I had the honor to recently interview Tim Williams, who created the score and did all the music for the movie. Not only is he fantastic, the music's fantastic. The clips I've seen are fantastic. I mean, it's going to be something that everybody needs to see.
Yeah, I think this is really going to be an awesome film. I'm hoping it is anyway, because between the horror elements and the superhero elements, I guess the not so superhero, they really are nailing a whole bunch of great points and places to be at this time, you know, with the Endgame coming up on being the number one movie in the world of all time, and all the other stuff that we've got going on. I mean, it's really just a fantastic combination. And from the looks of all the clips and the trailers and everything, it looks like it's really well made. I can't wait to see the whole story unfold.
Have you seen the extended clip with the eyeball?
I have not.
Oh my God. Oh, that's intense. That is intense.
I'm going to check that out as soon as we are finished here, because I'm so excited about this movie.
Oh, it's nasty.
Nice.
And another one coming out. I think we should keep our eye out on the Child's Play remake. You know, the doll may look a little different, but he's still Chucky.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to give it a chance for sure. You know, I don't like to go into any movie and say, well, this is going to suck. I like to sort of go in with an open mind and take it for what it is. You know, of course, there's a lot of people who are diehard Child's Play fans that, you know, and just like any other, you know, diehard fans, a lot of them are just really, really set with the person who played the original character that they fell in love with. And I totally get that and respect that. But for me personally, you know, if they're going to do something new, I want to see, you know, how they're going to make this new story and what they're going to do that's different. And I'm very interested in the fact that that Mark Hamill is doing the voice. He's a phenomenal voice actor. So I'm really hoping that he signed on, not because it was a paycheck, but because it was a good movie.
Well, here's a little secret. Tomorrow night, an interview will be coming out with actress Carlise Burke, who stars in the film, along
okay, cool.
with, you know, the other cast. And she kind of gives us a little few tidbits that nobody else has got yet.
Nice. That'll be cool. That'll be really cool.
Well, I mean, I will watch it. I am not excited about the way the doll looks, but I'm trying to have an open mind. And I am super excited that Luke Skywalker is the voice. I mean, come on. I mean, you can't get any better than that. But the only thing holding me back right now is I didn't really care for the look of the new doll. But you know, hey, is it called Chucky? Wait a second, are we calling it Chucky or is it a different
Chucky.
Name? When this,
yeah,
it is. Chucky,
it is.
So, okay, I wasn't sure.
On the box it says Buddy. So it,
okay.
it did have Chucky. A different name on the box. Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, anyway, open mind, walking forward, you know, I'm interested. I mean, hey, you know, I am not a remake kind of guy, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, but that said, I've seen some good ones, but I mean, you know, I've seen some bad ones too.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
a lot of bad ones.
You know, yeah. So it goes either way. It goes either way. So. Yeah, not throwing anyone under the bus.
This year's going to be a great year for horror, though, I think. There are a lot of great things coming out. And a lot of, you know, great directors, actors, actresses coming out. And, you know, the second, was it 48 meters down this time?
Oh, wow.
I love shark movies, so I'm all
yeah.
for that.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you know, Jaws, you know, opened that whole genre up, you know, back like, what, 40 years ago. And it's been going strong ever since, you know. I love the open water movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things were phenomenal. And you know, hey, I even got a soft spot for Sharknado. So, you know, shark movies are cool.
You know, it's funny, you know, you mentioned Jaws. I'm really, really surprised that we haven't seen a Jaws remake yet. That's something
oh,
I'm really try. Surprised we haven't seen.
I will pick it.
That may be why, but
I would not having it.
No, but I'm just saying because of the last, what was the last one that they did? There was another one after three, wasn't there?
Oh, there's like, yeah, there's four. Four was terrible.
Wasn't it just like Jaws Revenge or something?
The third one people bash a lot, but it's actually a great movie. The effects are just terrible.
It's a fun movie for sure. Mm-hmm.
And it's a good story, and you know it. They just can't look past the effects, and that's a shame.
Was that the one? Was three the one with Michael Caine?
No, that was the second one, I think. Oh, wait, no, you might be right. I think Louis Gossett Jr. was in it, if I'm not mistaken. It was the one in 3D.
It was set in like a, not Disney World, but the other one, what's it called?
Like Universal or something?
No, the...
Was that like a SeaWorld type of thing, right?
Yeah, SeaWorld.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. My cat is sitting here chewing on my hand, so my mind wandered a little bit.
Yeah, that's a little foggy. You know, I haven't seen it in a long time, but yeah, I mean, you know, that's cool. You know, I mean, see, that's the great thing, you know, about like what we all do. It's like you can like a doll that kills people. Or you can like a shark that goes around and eats people, you know, or you can like, you know, like It is coming out this summer. You know, you can like a clown that, you know, terrorizes children then adults. So, I mean, you know, there's no end to the creativity that can happen in the horror genre. And that's the thing. I mean, it's more open as far as creativity than any other genre. I mean, except, you know, for science fiction, you can go a lot of places too, but I mean, you know, horror is just so wide open.
Right. And even in horror, you can have Jason in outer space, you know, you get a little bit of sci-fi in there too.
Yeah,
that's true. That's totally true.
Trying to forget about some
or Dracula in space.
Yeah, they definitely try to push boundaries wherever they can. Sometimes they hit the mark and sometimes they don't. But you know, we'd have no way of knowing what would work and what doesn't unless somebody's out there trying it.
But let's be honest, I mean, even a bad horror movie is better than no movie.
Well, that's true. That's absolutely true.
There have been so many.
I'd definitely rather have some.
Yeah, I mean, there's been so many bad movies that like have just been like so enjoyable just to sit and watch, and if nothing else, just make fun of, you know. But I mean, it's fun.
Like the Sharknado franchise.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like look at the movies from the 80s, like Ghoulies and Critters and House and House 2, those were not astonishingly brilliant movies, but they're fun. And
Sorry,
go ahead. I wanted to, you can go ahead and say what you were saying, please.
The Michael Ledger. I don't even know what I was going to say, so go ahead. The floor is open.
I wanted to ask a question that's been greatly debated throughout the horror world. Are disaster movies considered horror? Should they be?
I mean, there's a fine line between horror and a lot of other genres. Disaster movies, I mean, personally speaking, I probably would not consider it horror, but I mean, you know, the guy next door might. But yeah, I just like I think, you know, there's a fine line between like science fiction movies and horror movies sometimes. you know. Sometimes it can be both, you know. It's, you know, just one of those things. It depends, I guess, how many horror-type elements are in there. And, I mean, even it comes down to, like, comedies. Sometimes, like, let's go as far back as Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. I mean, is that a horror movie? Yeah, it probably is. But, I mean, is it a comedy? Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's always those genre crossovers like that. But as far as disaster movies, I think if you look at it from a really analytical standpoint, I suppose it could be considered a horror movie because a lot of the elements are the same. You know, you've got these really tense situations that you don't know if people are going to escape from. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. You don't know until it actually happens. So, you know, you definitely get that, you know, edge of your seat situation going on. You get the adrenaline going, and you're kind of craving more and more. But the major difference from that perspective, I think, would be that the villain is essentially, you know, nature or whatever situation is happening, whether it's an earthquake or a volcano or a tsunami or something like that. So that's really the biggest difference, is there's not really a face to the bad guy.
Good answer.
What was that M. Night Shyamalan movie where nature was pretty much the villain? You know
the
what crappening? I'm talking about, where people would... The Happening,
no,
yeah, people just dropping dead.
Sorry. Just, I call it that instinctively. I'm sorry. No, yeah, it was The Happening.
Yeah, so, I mean, it kind of relates to what we're talking about a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, there was...
He did take... he took a thriller, horror sort of twist to that kind of movie. I have to say, though, even though I was disappointed in a lot of his past movies, I think he's really kind of stepped up a bit with some of his newer stuff. So I think
Glass
that's been pretty
fantastic.
Cool to see.
I said Glass was fantastic.
Yeah, he's done a great job with Split and with Glass. What was that other one that he had out there?
Unbreakable.
No, not that. It was one of the recent ones that he just didn't have his name on, really. I can't think of it. But
there's a couple that I kind of like that I guess are somewhat recent. The one that took place in the elevator, what was that called? Devil?
That was Devil, yeah.
Okay, like that was interesting. I didn't hate it. I, you know, was interested. I mean, some of them don't hit the mark. But you know, the thing is with that guy, he's not afraid to try. You know, try things, you know, I mean, sometimes they don't always work, but, you know, he goes for the, you know, he always goes for the big thrill or the big twist at the end, you know, it seems like that's what he's always going for. I really, really liked the, they only did one season and Matt Dillon was the star of it. And I'm trying to think really hard right now to what the name of the series was.
And it was a M. Night Shyamalan production. Does anyone recall?
Hmm.
Is it the one about... No, that was a movie. I have no idea.
All right. Well,
yeah,
talk among yourself, and I'm going to try to look it up. Wayward Pines was the name of it.
Yeah, I just found it.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys seen it, but I mean, it was excellent.
Nice. Yeah, no, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, so that one's worth the money, Netflix or, wherever you can find it. But I mean, the point with this guy is, it's hit or miss with him.
Yeah. Oh, The Visit. That's the one I was thinking about.
Oh, I thought that was crazy.
I really enjoyed that movie. Like, basically...
That was the one with the kid gets shit-faced, right?
No, The Visit is the one where the kids go to the grandparents' house that they either never met before or something like that. And I'm going to give a spoiler here for people who haven't seen it in the past 4 years. the people who are the grandparents turned out to be these people from a mental hospital, and the grandparents were stuffed in a freezer. So they're spending their summer vacation or whatever with these crazy people that are just doing all sorts of weird stuff in the middle of the night. And then during the day, they are somewhat normal and passable as their grandparents. It was very creepy. And it was just, I have to say, I actually did not see the end coming until closer to it. It was like, okay, these people are into either some weird stuff or I don't know. But I think that was a fun movie.
No, it was. Yeah. I liked it. I liked it. And when I said it was the one about the kid getting shit faced, it was the grandpa got his diaper and shoved it in the kid's face.
Oh, you were being literal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. That was messed up.
Yeah, that's never gonna leave me.
Oh my God!
I mean,
I think I was blocking it out of my memory.
Yeah, that's kind of burned in there for me.
Wow.
The Brightburn eyeball will do the same thing.
Hmm? Right. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm like so looking forward to seeing that now.
If somebody that has contact, it's terrifying. Just watch it.
Nice. I definitely will.
Well, I think we've had a great conversation so far, talking about, the upcoming slasher app and some of the past and present horror movies out there. Just to let you guys know, we got a couple more minutes left on the clock. We'll leave the, floor open to anything you guys want to, discuss as like a final thought. Kelly, before we wrap this up, do you have anything you want to add?
Yes. Download Slasher. Every horror fan needs it. Share it with your kids.
Okay.
And be sure to check out horrorfuel.com. All the real deal is there.
Absolutely. We pretty much have all the information that we need to know so far about Slasher and the Slasher app, but there's going to be a lot more coming in the next couple weeks as far as
information being released. Is that correct?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So, you know, within actually probably within the next 7 days, I think there's going to be a lot of revelations as far as things that are going to be coming and that'll be part of the app. And, you know, we'll just have to see.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? As things progress, and apparently they're going to be progressing rapidly, who knows? There might be a cause to do a Slasher podcast part two, Revenge of Damon or something. So we'll see how that plays out.
That would certainly be fun.
All right. Well, I think we're just about out of time. So I want to thank both you guys for being on here and basically talking about all this great stuff. Just keep your eye on Horror Fuel, because I mean this is going to be the place that will have all your up to date news stories about Slasher as they come out.
Definitely.
Yeah. Absolutely. And Michael, thank you for having both of us on. It's been a great time, and it's always fun chatting with you. And you as well, Kelly.
Hi.
Thank you. You too as well. It's been a pleasure.
Sure. Terrific. Thank
Fantastic.
You.
All right, guys. We're gonna end with this.
A scientist named Frankenstein made a monster by sewing together parts of old dead bodies.
You have to read this stuff.
Wait a minute. Frankenstein gave the monster eternal life by shooting it full of electricity. Some people claim it is not dead even now.
Uh-huh.
Just dormant. Now, who'd be silly enough to believe that?
Who would be silly enough to believe that? Me.
Farewell and adieu to you fair Spanish ladies. Farewell and adieu, you ladies of Spain. For we've received orders for to sail back to Boston. And so nevermore shall we see you again.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.